Thank you, Andrew. Does anyone have any questions of Andrew? It's a historic moment in the history of ALE to ask questions of Andrew. Yes, sir. Can you just identify yourself and maybe take the microphone so everyone can hear?
Simon Samuel for Delta Asset Management. Could we have some idea of what Endeavour might be like to deal with? Obviously, we don't know who is going to own it, but might they be easier to deal with than Woolies? Or
clearly that's a hypothetical question, and Endeavour Group hasn't been formed yet, so we don't know who's on the board, who the management team are. But suffice to say, our tenant will become, you know, it's a very significant entity in its own right. It will have its own, well, if it becomes an IPO, and we don't know what becomes of it, but it's a separate entity that has its own board and own management team. At the moment we're dealing, our tenant is a joint venture between Woolworths and the Bruce Matheson Group. What implications that has for our relationship to be proven. Suffice to say that, you know, we do have an objective to absolutely do the right thing by our security holders, but at the same time to try to progress our relationship with ALH, because I think we both sides are conscious that there is significant upside to be unlocked if we can have a better meeting of the minds on some matters. So that's a very roundabout answer.
Well, I'll ask you one I've asked before, which is, given you've just accepted that the property values are the highest they've probably ever been, and the bond rate is where it is, you know, hasn't got a lot more that it can go lower, would it not be sensible to sell off one or two of these properties that are maxed out as far as development, further development can go? I know you've said before, well, we'd like to keep all the group together, but surely we need to, you know, crystallise a few.
Well, I think what we want to do is see the outcome of the November 2018 rent review process, so we can better understand whether or not some of them are maxed out or not. If we take the view that some of them are, to use your term, maxed out, then we will and will always look at whether asset sales make more sense. But I think we need to get through the hurdle of the rent review process to fully understand how the lease is going to, you know, or get a much better guide as to how the lease is going to be interpreted.
And one more, could you just add some colour as why is this taking so long? Do they individually check the turnover in each of these hotels? And are we doing that for a year or something? Is that how it happens?
Look, it's a very detailed process with independent valuers. There are a lot more properties being negotiated or debated than we had expected. I think with the benefit of hindsight, if you set up this vehicle again, you probably wouldn't set it up with nearly 80 pubs having a lease expiry on the same day. But it's easy to say with hindsight. So there is a paperwork war that's going on at the moment. And unfortunately, and this goes to the lease as well, there's no time limit on the completion of the process. There are certain obligations on both sides to act expediently, but there's no hard deadlines. But suffice to say that, as I mentioned, our rent does get backdated to 4th of November 2018, so we'd have some protection. But clearly it's not, you know, it's not in our interest for this thing to keep going, but as I said before, we're going to absolutely make sure that we've done the very best by our security holders, so as long as it takes and whatever it takes. Yes, sir.
McPhail is the name. I'm a shareholder. The amount of money is no consequence. I'm just asking this question because I'm a bit curious. On page 10 of the annual report, page 10, paragraph 7, it says that the derivative liability has increased to $40 million. Does that mean if interest rates fall, the derivative liability go up? I'm quite curious how it works. I imagine it works the other way, that if interest rates rise, the derivative liability goes down. Is it?
I'm going to make Andrew work for his money for that one.
Thank you. So yes, derivative liabilities do increase when interest rates fall. Do we incur that liability while we leave the hedge in place? No. We just keep paying the fixed rate under the bonds or the future interest rate swap rates that have been agreed. If we did decide to terminate the hedges, we would pay that $40 million, but that amount would be the amount we save in future years. It's pretty much a zero-sum game. So much like the property values, when they increase, if we sold the properties, we would realise that increased value. Much like the hedges, if you terminate them early, yes, you realise a liability. But in our case, there's no current intention to terminate those hedges. We may require a termination of some of the hedges as we complete the refinancings, but that would be not all of them. It would only be some of them. The only thing I would add is that the reason we put the hedges in place was to protect the distributions to security holders, and it's been completely successful in achieving that aim.
Hello, Ken Canjian, a private investor. Andrew, my recollection was that the leases contained absolute prohibitions against assignment. How will the current tenant assign to the new amalgamated group, if that's the case? Doesn't that put us in the box seat?
You're correct that there are change of control provisions in the lease. We're yet to be informed by Endeavour Group as to the exact mechanics by which they want to form the group and how those leases are to be transferred. Suffice to say that consent cannot be unreasonably withheld. So you know, we need to look at all the circumstances which we don't have yet and make that determination. But
yeah, that was my point. So the provisions provide for consent not to be unreasonably withheld as opposed to an absolute prohibition against assignment.
Yes. Yeah.
Good, thank you.
Michael Arthur, private client advisor. Andrew, I'd firstly like to say thank you for your career at ALE. It's been a fantastic journey for clients and investors of the ALE Group. Well done. The question for mine is, we've gone through the review now in 2018. Is it going to be as intense, do you expect, in 2028? Or is a lot of the hard yards being done now in 2018?
For the 2018 submissions for the 43 properties, we put together circa 15,000 pages of submissions. That's 300 to 400 pages per property. In order to put that together, we as a group did a lot of foundational work, which, to your point, we won't need to do again at 2028. In terms of ALH's response in 2028, I would be guessing as to how they might respond to what notices we send them in 2028. Remembering that 28 review is an uncapped review. So this time we were limited to the 10% increase in the notices we sent. ALH is a successful organisation because it's commercially vigorous. I'd expect their response in 2028 to be commercially vigorous.
Suffice to say, I will undertake that between now and then we will be having discussions with Endeavour Group as to is there not a better way to do this?
Yes.
Got any estimates as to how much of the distribution this year will be tax deferred? I can see the refi is not till 21, so there shouldn't be any major write-offs for you know, remarking that to market. Will it be a similar sort of number, do we think? 80%, something like that?
The two moving parts around tax deferral for financial year 20, a potential completion of refinancing and any restructuring of the hedging as part of that process before June 2020. But the main thing will be the rent review outcome, because there's backdating of rent to 4th of November 2018, and that, based on a range of different outcomes, could be a range of different tax deferred outcomes. If we sold any properties, that would also impact. But at the current time, as Rob mentioned, there's no current intention to sell.
Any further questions at this juncture? We'll give you plenty of opportunity for questions later on if you